but it's in spiral from Erevan, and nearest to us a massive run from light infantry as they approach the closing stages. In spiral, the Red Jacket, she's just in front, and has won. Two light infantry ever ran behind those. Order of Australia was next. Karibas is way behind.
Well, that was the Group 1 we were discussing yesterday on the verdict run over in France at Deauville on Sunday. And it's got big ramifications for the Australian Spring Carnival. Light infantry, which ran out of its skin running second there, is coming to Australia. It'll be prepared by Kira Maher and Dave Eustace for a Golden Eagle, maybe an appearance over the Flemington Carnival as well. And State of Rest, which was very disappointing. The Cox Plate favourite, is there a question mark? Lee Mottis head is our man who is across everything for the Racing Post and also Racing Pulse over in Europe. This week's a huge week with the York Festival, with a lot of Melbourne Cup contenders entered as well. It's great to catch up with Lee Mottis head. Lee, good evening, your time. What a time it is in European racing, especially with all of the ramifications that could fall out for the Spring Carnival. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good, thank you. Yeah, enjoyed watching the Deauville action on Sunday, and I am already in the north, ready for Europe, 24 days, starting Wednesday. Manworld, it's the most enjoyable flat festival of the year over here, because York is a racecourse that gets everything right. If I was going to make one flat recommendation to your listeners outside of Royal Ascot in Britain, it would be York racecourse. Fantastic racecourse, went incredibly well, and they get superb racing, and they will again this year.
All right, it's on the bucket list for next year. Then York, that will be magnificent. I'm going to talk about the highlights in a moment, but first of all, just the fallout from Sunday. The performance of Light Infantry, I know Colin and Janine McKenna are part owners. It was in Jamaica's colours when it ran second on the weekend. Could there be a possibility we see it in the Champions Mile as well at Flemington? How good is this horse, and how surprised were you with its performance on the weekend?
I was surprised because it looked beforehand to be a seriously good running of the Jacques Lemarois. You had In Spiral, you had Caribus, and you had State of Rest, three very good horses at the top of the market. I think the reality is that all three of those big guns underperformed, even In Spiral. Because though In Spiral won the race, we've got her running quite a bit below the level she showed to win the Coronation Stakes at Royal Ascot. There's no doubt Caribas, the 2,000 guineas and St. James's Palace winner, was way below his best back in fifth. And we know that State of Rest was nowhere near his best back in eighth place. It was a bold call with State of Rest. I think they took the view that they had lots to potentially gain and very little to lose, in the sense that had he won as a Group 1 winner of a championship mile race, his commercial value as a stallion would have soared even higher. Had he got beat, they would just blame the 1 mile trip on a straight track. Well, he got beat. And I think in all probability, the 1 mile trip was a factor. He was chasing a Japanese horse up front. He couldn't maintain the pace for long. In the end, he faded, but he wasn't given a particularly hard time. I think it will be interesting to see if anything comes to light. We've heard nothing so far. My suspicion is that if the horse is fine over the coming days, they will still go back to the Cox Plate, in the sense that they know that this year he has been a very good horse. You know, he's a multiple Group 1 winner, including this season. He won the Prince of Wealthy Stakes at the World Meeting. A reproduction of that would be very, very close to being enough to win a Cox Plate again. And I don't think he's going to win a Champion Stakes at Leopardstown or Ascot. So I think if he's all right, he'll go to the Cox Plate, I would suspect, and he'll still be a major player. And Light Infantry, what a purchase. Because, although, as I say, I don't think the Jacques Lemarois form is as good as you might think of it in just looking at the horses who were involved, it was still a massive PB from him, and inspired by, and if they are bringing across as they are for the Golden Eagle, why not stick around for that second Saturday at Flemington?
Well, he's now equal favourite, Light Infantry, for the Golden Eagle, and we know there's a long way to come, but it's an interesting setup because, speaking with Kieran Maher last week, David Simcock, who trains the horse over in Europe, it'll be transferred to Kieran Maher and David Eustace for an Australian spring campaign, but then we'll head back to Europe, and the goal is to be winning at Royal Ascot next year under the care of David Simcock.
Yeah, and listen, it sounds like a very bold, original sort of move, but that's the sort of connections he's got. They've got a horse who's still extremely lightly rated. He's only rated the third time when he contested the 2000 Guineas at Newmarket in the back end of April. He wasn't ready for that, I don't think, physically or mentally. But in 2 runs since then, he showed himself to be a proper solid Group 1 performer. There wouldn't be many better 3-year-old milers in Europe now than Light Infantry. And this idea of going to Australia for 1, maybe 2 runs in the spring and then going back to Royal Ascot, well, again, if they can get him to win top flight contests in both hemispheres, again, his value is monumental. So, yeah, fair play to them.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the York Festival. Obviously, Bay Eid and the Judmonts, the headline act. Quickly, just on Bay Eid before we talk about the Melbourne Cup contenders, do you expect him to be too good over the 2,000, or could Mishriff upset the superstar of Europe?
Well, Mishriff certainly could. Mishriff's best performance yet was on the main mile last year in the Judmont International. York is a wonderfully flat, fair run course, and yet some horses don't really go on it, and some horses excel on it. Well, Mishriff loved it last year. He hasn't been as good this year, though. Yes, you can say he was unlucky second in the Eclipse second time out, but he was very slow to go that day. Repeated that antic in the King George last time. I think we can expect him to bounce back from Ascot and more akin to his Sandown and York last year in this year's race. But it is all about Bailly. He's the highest rated horse in the world with a mark of 1.28. But that rating has been built on performances entirely over a mile. There are three potential outcomes on Wednesday. One is he's as good over a mile and a quarter as he is over a mile. The other is he regresses from a mile to a mile and a quarter. And it's a case of, does he regress by not so much of a margin that he can't still win? And the third option is he actually improves over a mile and a quarter. And Jim Crowley, his jockey, is very much of the opinion that he could well improve over a mile and a quarter. And if he does, his turn of foot will make him an even more lethal proposition. And there is just the possibility that if he is incredibly impressive over a mile, 2.5 furlongs at York on Wednesday, that connections could find it quite hard not to start seriously thinking about the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Mm. They've not raised it as a serious option yet, and they're very much thinking towards the Champions Stakes and Athlon Champions Day, continuing that Frankel route right to the end of his career. But the Arc dwarfs all in European flat racing, particularly in the second half of the year. And if he did go and win by 3, 4, 5 lengths at York on Wednesday, it would be a perfectly legitimate question to ask contenders. But it's a fascinating race. Best horse in the world on the figures, although there's a sprinter in Australia that might well feel he's been a bit offended by not having that mantle. But Bayard is really, really good. And it's great that he's trying something new. You always want to see these top horses facing different sorts of tests. This is a different sort of test. We're going to learn more about Bayard on Wednesday.
It'll be fascinating. And from a Melbourne Cup point of view, it's like the Cups of yesteryear. The internationals are dominating the early markets, and we are going to learn a lot more after this York Festival. We've got the Great Voltigeur on the same day as the Judmont, where we've got Deauville Legend, and it's only a small field, but a number of those horses are entered in this year's Melbourne Cup. And then, of course, we've got one of the tried and true lead-up races for the Melbourne Cup, the Ebor on Saturday. Of the horses who are running, who do you think we should be looking at most closely?
Yeah, well, I was trying to do a bit of totting up earlier, Michael, and I reckon there are 10 horses who are due to run at York across these 4 days that are entered in the Melbourne Cup. And in some ways, the most interesting runs on Wednesday, Derby Legend in the Great Voltigeur. As you say, it's a race that is a tried and tested route to the first Tuesday in November. And certainly everything he has done so far makes you think he's a very obvious Melbourne Cup candidate, in that he's a Northern Hemisphere staying 3-year-old gelding. He has form in very good quality group races. He ran second in the Gordon Stakes, which was the cross-country race on his way to winning the Melbourne Cup. That was an excellent run in a deep renewal of the Gordon Stakes. James Ferguson, his trainer, was making clear there that the Melbourne Cup is very much on the cards. At that point, he didn't know if he'd be training the horse if he went to Australia or if the owner would move the horse to a Australian trainer. But, yeah, he is the most interesting Cup candidate in that race. The favourite with the Charlie Appleby trained Secret State isn't in the Melbourne Cup, and somewhat surprisingly, Charlie Appleby has no entries in the Cup this year. But three others in the Great Voltage are in the Cup. Another one of James Ferguson's, El Bodegon, but he's a horse who has difficult ground requirements at times, and he'd be a little bit of a question mark. Grand Alliance has been a very hard horse to predict. Acal is the second favourite in the early betting for the Great Voltage, trained by Aidan O'Brien. A really impressive win the last time, but we still don't know for sure, really, what Aidan will do with his Melbourne Cup entries and whether this year will be a year too soon for Aidan or whether he will indeed send horses out of there. And then we move on to Ebor on Saturday, the race that they try to shape more and more like a British Melbourne Cup. It's certainly a deep mile 6 handicap, albeit only for 4-year-olds plus. Joseph O'Brien, who we all know has huge success in the Melbourne Cup, loves the Melbourne Cup. He has a horse in this race who would have, I think, a definite say in the Ebor and potentially also in the Melbourne Cup in Akita Sushi. He's a horse who looks like he hasn't yet produced all he could produce. He's a likely race staying sort who definitely has more progress in him. I think he could be a Melbourne Cup candidate. So could Get Shirty, trained by David O'Mara, who's been prolific in major staying handicaps this season. Won a big one at Haydock last time, won a Royal Ascot time before. We've also got Benno, Enemy, Fancy Man, Tashkan, all in the Ebor, who are also in the Melbourne Cup. Tashkan and Enemy also in the Lonsdale Cup on the Friday when Stradivarius is due to run again. Looks like his retirement will be delayed again and again and again. We've still got him going around. So, yeah, great racing at York this week, Michael, but also plenty of potential claimants included.
Yeah, Deauville Legend is the highest in the Melbourne Cup market that'll be racing this week at an $18 on the third line of betting. But Cleveland's the equal favourite now. Of course, we saw Joseph O'Brien's horse, which you'd imagine is now coming with the ownership from the team Williams. And Joseph had another nice winner over the weekend in the Irish St. Ledger trial, a horse called Raise You. Is that likely to be heading down under?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, with Joseph, he's probably got, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 horses that you'd be thinking, would they be coming across to Melbourne in the spring? He had a horse, actually, who won at Leopardstown last week called Point King, who I thought was really impressive in the Vinnie Rose Stakes, a race at Leopardstown on Thursday, again in those William Silks. And he, to me, looked potentially the most exciting of all of them because he's very lightly raced and could just be very good indeed. So I don't know whether he will go to Flemington this year. He's not got a huge amount of experience, but he's potentially really, really progressive. So if Point King did get the nod towards the plane to Australia, I'd be definitely watching him. But yeah, Joseph O'Brien looks the main man again in terms of Europeans heading out that issue.
And it's going to be a busy week for Australian representation because we've been waiting a long while, but this Sunday we finally get to see the European debut of Very Elegant. This is what Frankie Dettori had to say. He's pretty excited about riding Very Elegant.
It's very well known that I never won the Melbourne Cup, but if you can't win it yourself, but you might as well ride the horse that has won it. Very Elegant, she's an amazing mare. She won from 7 furlongs to 2 miles, the biggest race in Australia, the Melbourne Cup, won in a trot. And she came over this summer, and look, I'm super excited, you know, to ride the legend like that.
Will you get to sit on her before you?
I mean, she's running next week, and she's in Chantilly at the moment.
Yeah.
But Francoise is very pleased with her, and look, it's an honour to you know, and really all roads lead to, I guess, for the Arc at the end of the season. So let's see how she does next Sunday.
What's the expectation of how she'll perform on Sunday, Luke?
Hard to know, bearing in mind that she missed what was supposed to be her seasonal reappearance over here in the Group 1 pre-Rothschild. She just didn't start in the piece of work before that race, so they gave her a bit longer, the Graffard team. So we're now going to be in the race over Amana Corsa, which for very elegant will seem like a marathon for the first run of the prep, going 10 furlongs first time. But we know how much further she stays than 10 furlongs. I think it will be interesting how this race develops. It's too soon over here yet to know what's going to be in the race on Sunday. But if it's a typical Deauville race, you're going to have a steady pace and then a kick, which in some ways is the obvious Aussie way anyway. She's fascinating. I mean, I think that there's a lot of interest in her over here. She's an extremely well-known racehorse, even in this part of the world. The Frankie angle just adds to the story as well. And if there is any sort of year to be building towards an arc with an Australian raider, this is probably it, because it's not a red hot arc so far on paper. The favourite is a Japanese trained horse title holder who we know is really, really good, but it's still unusual for a Japanese trained horse who many Europeans won't know much about heading the arc betting. The short-sized British challenger, Alpinista, runs at York on Thursday in the Yorkshire. She's never even won a Group 1 in Britain. All the Group 1s have been in the continent, on the continent. So I think very elegant. It's a great year for her to be over here. She has to be supplemented for the arc because the decision to send her to Europe came just too late to make an actual arc entry. So she'd have to be added to the race at a later stage. But, you know, if she was impressive in one of the prep races, because the Vermeer would be next after this one, it'd be worth having a go. If you're going to have a shot at an art, this is a good one to have a shot at.
It's going to be fascinating the next week for the Australian contingent who are likely to be heading, or the contingent that are likely to be heading to Australia. And you're our man to keep us up to date. Enjoy the York Carnival. Can you leave us with one winner? What's your best bet over the week?
My best bet would be in the Ebor on Saturday. William Haggis, who trains by Yeedy, the Yorkshireman, loves winning races at York. He's got a very progressive staying handicap called Garcia, about 8-1 shot for the Ebor on Saturday. And this one, Garcia would be my tip in the Ebor at York on Saturday.
We'll be cheering Garcia home, and we'll catch you next week for all of the rundown of the York Festival and Very Elegant's debut over there. Enjoy it, Lee.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great week.
Great to catch up with Lee Mottershead, and we'll touch base with him after a huge week of racing over in Europe. Time for the 10 o'clock news. On the other side of this, we'll find you all the winners at Donald.